In the gospel today we read, he was led by the Spirit into the desert. Angels came and ministered unto him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord was led by God's own Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to the desert to pass through a kind of purgatory. It was a preparation, not for paradise, but for his public ministry, which entailed suffering acutely from hunger and thirst and cold and heat, and then constant assaults by demons who tortured him with every sort of temptation. Not for his own sins did the sinless Lamb so suffer, but for ours, and to give us an example of how to do it. How like, but how different is the Lent of the poor souls in purgatory. They are both happy and miserable, as St. Paul sings in today's epistle. Tamquam triste semper autem gaudente, sad but always rejoicing. Like our Lord, whose true spouse each soul in purgatory is, they belong to God. They're all God's. They cannot sin. They've escaped hell forever. They are certain to be in heaven one day. They are, in a word, saved. They are saved, not we yet here upon earth. And yet, how miserable they are. They must still suffer temporal punishment due to sins which were forgiven perhaps centuries ago. And they've come to the door of the Father's house. They have no key, and it is locked, and they are consigned to the fires without. They shall be saved, yet so as by fire, Scripture says. I want to speak to you this first Sunday of our season of suffering, you may call it, of our Lent, of the suffering of these souls, but also of their solace. Can you ever, in our lives or in theirs, separate the two? Thus, St. Paul insists on it, as those who are sad, yet who are always rejoicing. The two always go together. And the angels, God's ministers and messengers, are the go-betweens, heaven and earth and heaven and purgatory. And as for Jesus, so too for the poor souls, joy abounds and a sure strength. That's the meaning of the comfort an angel brings. Thus the scripture, then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. St. Francis of Rome lived in the late Middle Ages. She was a wife and a mother, a mystic, and the most practical woman who founded a convent of oblate sisters in the Eternal City. As a general rule, except when she was bad, she saw her guardian angel. And she was even able, remember, to walk the dark streets of Rome by his light, his glow at night. She says, when someone dies, according to his merits, the guardian angel conducts him to the lower part of purgatory and stays at his right side, while the devil is on his left. The angel presents to Jesus himself the prayers which were raised up to God for that soul, and the angel intercedes to have the pains of that soul shortened. St. Margaret Mary, the Sacred Heart saint, once, when she was sick, was invited by her guardian angel to accompany him down into purgatory. She saw a great space, all full of flame and of coals, hot coals, in which there were a vast number of souls in their human form, and their arms were raised up like this to beg for mercy, while beside them were their guardian angels who consoled them with affectionate words. That's a beautiful picture of what purgatory is. These private revelations agree with the church's official magisterium, whose doctors and whose teachers instruct us that the soul is led to its own desert, its purgatory, by its own guardian angel, and that this same angel comes to earth to inspire others to pray for that soul, and then goes back to purgatory and consoles the prisoners there to tell them, you're being prayed for. And they even tell them the name of those who are praying for them. And then when at last their long Lent is done and their Holy Saturday sounds, it is the guardian angel who announces their Alleluia and who escorts them to heaven. It is the angels who carry our prayers for the poor souls as we pray in the canon of the Mass to the altar on high. And the angels, too, who accompany our Lord or our Lady when they descend down to visit that fiery prison to console or even to release the holy souls there. On earth, of course, only saints see their angels in that radiant light. But in purgatory's darkness, the sinners who are detained there are refreshed by the presence perceived of their guardian angel and all of that light that glows in the very dark darkness of purgatory. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, took our Lord to a desert for his fast. Why? Well, that is the classic dwelling place of devils, and it is the scriptural place of combat, the desert. It is dry, it is lifeless, it is terribly hot by day, and awfully cold at night. Where do the holy souls go for their purgatory? It is the common teaching of the saints that purgatory is in the middle of the earth. St. Teresa of Avila remarks, for example, that whenever she saw a soul released from purgatory by the help of her prayers, he always seemed to come right out of the earth, up into heaven. But, as St. Thomas and others teach, certain souls expiate their sins in places where they committed sins, or where they are able to ask others to pray for them. So, for example, Padre Pio sees Franciscans from time to time in his monastery, in the choir loft, or in the sanctuary. And sometimes souls make their purgatory in the church by the altar, or a home that could even explain sometimes the seeming haunting of a house. There's a soul there who needs our assistance. A good example of this is the incident, you know, that occurred with Padre Pio when he was a newly ordained priest at home because he was sick, saying Mass in his parish church. And the priest would always vest behind the altar. But one day, the pastor said to him, Father, I want you to get vested. I'll put your vestments on the side table there. Don't go behind the altar. And as a good, holy young priest, he just did what he was told. He didn't go back behind the altar anymore. He vested at the side. And later on, he learned the reason why, because the parish priest saw the old pastor who had died, and he was on a kneeler all during Padre Pio's Mass, praying intently without moving. And then in that kind of jocular way that Italians have amongst themselves, one day the old parish priest who had been doing his purgatory behind the altar during Padre Pio's Mass appeared to the current pastor and he said to him, "Salvatore," he says, "I'm going now. I won't be coming back anymore, don't worry. I had to do my purgatory because of the processions, you know." "The processions?" "Yes," he says. "As soon as I would take off my vestments, I would process straight out of church, and I never made a Thanksgiving after Mass to the cafe across the street for a cup of coffee, and I would talk to the villagers about what was going on." And for that, even though he was an honest man, they say, for that he had his purgatory to do. The common teaching of the saints is that purgatory, at least in certain spots, Padre Pio says, is exactly like hell as regards its fire. That takes us to the pain of the sense, perhaps what is most notable about the sufferings of those poor souls. The fire, as it were, all on the outside and all on the inside, in comparison with this world's fire is a cardboard fire, they say. And Padre Pio says, it's like cool water in comparison with the fires of purgatory. St. Catherine of Genoa says, words cannot describe the torment, but we try so that we may learn and meditate upon these truths. A twofold suffering, the pain of loss of God and the pain of the senses. The pain of the senses, we tend to emphasize the fire, so strong a suffering that a priest once who touched a bead of perspiration that came from a poor soul, just touched it, one little drop, he fainted with the pain of it. But there is an even greater suffering, that of the loss of God. The soul desires so much to be united with God, it would be enough to kill us, that desire. It would take away our life if we had it, but we don't. And then, in addition to that, there is this burning desire for purification. The soul wants to get started so that she may see God. And then finally, St. Ambrose says, remorse of conscience. You know how some people feel guilty? They feel so guilty they are driven mad, or at least mentally ill at times, are tortured their whole life long by guilt. We Catholics have the confessional. We Catholics have our prayers. But the souls in purgatory do not have recourse to them. They call that remorse of conscience the worm that dieth not. It is a torture to them, as is the sense of helplessness and of desolation when the angels aren't there, I mean. And then darkness, utter darkness. The souls do not even know their own name. They know who they are and when they lived and so forth, where, but they do not even know their own name. Surely, you and I, we think too little of the poor souls, and the just judgments of God, we think too lightly about them. And thus it is that we rarely help them. This Lent, this desert, despite all of the devils who torture and torment us with temptations, let us imitate the angels in bringing relief to the poor souls. Look, I'm sending home this little purple leaflet one each Sunday. Please take it. Please take a few minutes each day, read over, meditate, think about the daily little lesson and say the prayer for the poor souls there in purgatory. It is a means, these thoughts are, of opening up an entirely different world to us, far beyond our petty distractions and preoccupations. Soon enough, we'll have to leave them all. What seemed worth committing a sin to you today, you will regret for how many centuries, perhaps, in the fire of purgatory. Go on in to purgatory now. Take a seat there. See it. Reflect in the light of the holy angels and the glowing coals on your own life. And while you're at it, resolve to be an angel for some poor, forgotten soul there, dark, dark in his flames. Of all the stories that I've come across in the preparation of these sermons, one struck me most and consoled me very much, which was told by Saint Gregory the Great about a deacon, somewhat before his time. This would be maybe the middle of the 6th century, about 550 or so. And this man's name was Pascasius. He was a deacon and a very good man. He was holy. He loved the poor. He was so pious that when he died, some sick person with faith touched his vestment, his dalmatic, and he was instantly cured. But he had to go to purgatory. And why is that? Later on, he told a priest, because he sided on the wrong side of a church controversy. There was a split. And he said he did it out of ignorance and not out of malice. But nevertheless, he was punished. And he had to do his purgatory, of all places, in the public baths as a kind of a servant or attendant there, which would have been for a deacon a great humiliation. And he was waiting on a priest one day, and he told the priest his story. And the priest said masses for him. And within a week, he was at long last liberated. There are some lessons for that, doubtless, for us. The ways of God are not the ways of man. It is Lent. They are awaiting you. You be an angel for them. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.